Up here, I want to begin by stating the very obvious. Life is very hard. When you think about it, there's so many things that you have to learn, so many skills you have to acquire, so many to-dos you have to remember, and so much that you have to accomplish every single day for that day to be considered successful. So first, it starts the night before. You have to remember to set your alarm clock. And then, that was a little look at Bosco. I love him dearly. Then you have to have the self-control to get out of your bed when the alarm clock goes off. You have to walk through the mindless steps we follow like robots every morning of getting up, going to the bathroom, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, getting dressed, eating, taking care of the pets, taking care of the kids, and then you have to get in your car and you have to drive to wherever it is that you have to go, following all the rules of the road, remembering that you filled up with gas so that you don't run out. And then that doesn't even cover the part of your job that you go to. When you go someplace to perform for somebody, and so you have all these things that you've had to learn to do at work, all the different people that you have to work alongside of. You don't get to pick your own coworkers, and so for some of you, that is a challenge all in itself. You have trainings you have to take, details you have to remember, and if you slip up on just one of them, you have a boss who's going to say, "Do you realize what you just did? You caused this huge problem for the whole company." On top of that, the world's in a bit of chaos. Maybe you haven't noticed. If you turn on the news, everything is worse than it was 1 year, 5 year, 10 years ago. You've got to be careful about what you say to everybody because there's a huge assortment of topics that if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, you can end up in a big argument. Or maybe you just drive yourself home with your kid in the back seat, reminded that they're still not talking to you because you had to give them some discipline for their behavior. And just for fun, also remember to pay your bills on time. Fine, fill the car with gas, schedule a date night with your spouse, send your mom a Mother's Day card, repair the squeaky screen door, and make sure that you set your alarm so that you can do it all over again. And when I say it like that, you think to yourself, well, what could go wrong with a day like that? So many things. And so there's a whole bunch of pressure that we feel because we don't want to miss on any one of those things. Because if we miss, then we're late to something, or we don't have our hair done because we didn't take the time to get out of bed and shower, or we forgot to brush our teeth and we didn't think anybody would notice, but we drank a ton of coffee that morning and everybody notices. And then you have everybody is thinking about how you failed in one of these many things that you didn't do the right way, and you're hoping that they didn't notice. But they did notice, and they're judging you, and you know that they're judging you, so you feel bad about that, and you're embarrassed, and you have this shame inside. And I know that right now, for some of you, your anxiety is rising, and I'm doing that on purpose. It's a reminder, life is hard. And according to social media, you're probably losing at life because your childhood old best friend turned enemy has all these pictures on social media to show you that they're doing everything way better than you're doing. And so everything just builds and piles on. And so it's no wonder that so many people struggle with worry and panic attacks and feel lost in these dark clouds of depression. And to make your life even more of a struggle than I've already described, whether you adopt it or not, we have a spiritual enemy who is trying to take your already challenging life and make it even worse for you. John 10:10, Jesus says this in what I believe he's speaking about the devil, Satan. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." You have an enemy who wants to destroy your life. So on top of everything that already could go wrong, you have an enemy who wants to ruin your day every single day. Now, what I want us to all then understand is, yes, life is hard, and it's hard to relax when I speak about all these things that are piled on top. And yes, life is hard, but because of that, Here's the important thing. It's okay to not be okay. That's something I think a lot of people have to hear and they have to accept. Like, it's okay if after a really bad, miserable day or week, you say, you know what? I'm not doing okay. I feel really wrapped up inside. This has been really hard. You have acceptance. You can feel that way. You don't need to judge yourself because like something's wrong inside of you. That's an okay feeling to have. As you know, we're continuing in this series called Anxious for Nothing that's based on Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And last week I challenged you to try to memorize that passage. I made little memory cards that you could take home, even if you aren't going to memorize it, to just read through it over and over. What'll happen is these words and phrases will lock themselves in your mind. And this is the Word of God. It has the power to overcome the challenges that you're going through in your life. So before we jump into what I have prepared to talk about today, I want us, would you please stand? And we are going to read Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 9 together, so that the word of God spoken by the people of God, there is power in that. Let's read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You may have a seat. I hope that you grabbed those cards. You've gone through that. If you didn't, we still have a few of them underneath the TVs. I encourage you, grab one of those on your way out. So in future weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be diving into that passage and unpacking the advice that Paul lays out in how to deal with anxiety, depression, and those struggles you might be facing. However, and ultimately today, though, we're going to begin by looking at the lies that Satan tells you to try to trap you in your anxiety and your despair. Remember, Satan is an enemy. He's your adversary, and he wants to ruin your life. He's your opponent trying to destroy you. And if you've ever played team sports, you understand, especially at the high school level, collegiate level, you study your opponent. If you want to have the best success in the game or the match, you study your opponent, and you figure out what their common strategy or tactics are, because if you understand what your opponent is going to try to do to you, it allows you to be more prepared to take advantage and to win the game, win the match. If we have an opponent who's trying to destroy our lives, then we need to understand what are his tactics that he's trying to use to destroy you. And so when we understand what those are and we see what his lies are, we're better able to defend ourselves. And so that's what we are going to be doing today. How you respond to the situations that come up from moment to moment in your life is completely shaped by how you believe and what you believe to be true. Essentially, your actions are always shaped by your beliefs. That's why people face challenges differently. If two different people hold different views of something, then when something happens to them, they will respond in different ways. And so when it comes to anxiety, if you believe that you are such a mess that nobody can understand what's going on in your head, then you're going to try to hide how you're feeling. You don't want anybody to know. If you believe that Christians should all experience easy lives because of their relationship with Jesus, then you're going to feel really guilty when you struggle. If you believe that anxiety is simply your lot in life and that it's never going to get better, it just runs in the family line, your grandma had it, your mom had it, now you wrestle with it, you will never expect to experience freedom from it and to get better. Back to our opponent, Satan. One of his primary tactics in all of life, not just in mental health, is to try to skew what you believe about yourself, about God, and about your situation, so that he's able to trap you into a never-ending cycle of worry and despair. He wants you to essentially imprison yourself with your own feelings and your own worries. He wants you to miss out on everything good that God created for you. And he creates those prison walls by telling you lies that cause you to respond in ways contrary to how the Word of God tells us that you are to respond to difficult situations. So Jesus tells us of Satan that he is the father of lies. In John 8, verse 44, it says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You belong to your father, the devil." I think he's talking to the Pharisees here, not his own disciples. "And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Understand that about Satan. A huge part of each one of us fighting for our mental health is to understand the lies that you are believing about yourself and your situation so that you can replace them with the truth from God's word. And I know that in your darkest moments, these lies that Satan has been firing in your direction feel so true. They feel like they absolutely have to be the right way that the world is working. But I'm here to tell you, your feelings cannot be trusted. They are the walls that Satan has set up to confine you to this life of misery. What you need to understand is that Satan is lying to you, and it's time to stop believing his lies. That's a crucial part. When people get stuck with mental health issues, it's typically because they're allowing these lies of Satan to penetrate in to change how they believe. And the only way that we can start moving forward is to say, you know what? I believe this is not true. This is a lie, and I'm going to shift what I believe. And so with that note, today we are discussing four lies that Satan is telling every single person, trying to trap them in different mental health issues that they're going to struggle with. The first lie is that Christians shouldn't struggle. Oftentimes people mistakenly believe that if you trust Jesus, then you shouldn't have any mental health struggles. The peace and joy described in the Bible should be yours as long as you have enough faith. And so the corollary to that is if you are struggling, it must mean that you don't have enough faith. You don't believe enough. God isn't pleased with you. Your performance hasn't been up to par, and that's why you're struggling. And so if you believe that that's the reason you're wrestling with anxiety or depression or any myriad of issues, of course you're not going to tell anybody, because then you'd be confessing to your lack of faith or your lack of good behavior that pleases God. And so what it does is it causes people to clam up and simply hide their struggles. In shame and embarrassment, maybe they come to church and they're asked that question, "Well, how are you doing?" And they put their mask on and their big smile on their face and they say, "I'm doing great. You know, how are you doing?" Or worse yet, to avoid that question altogether, they simply stop coming to church. Because facing people who actually care about how you're doing is just too hard. You don't want to tell them that you're struggling because you feel like you'll be shamed for that. And so you just avoid church altogether. But it's okay if you struggle. Being a Christian isn't a guarantee of anything in this life. It's not a guarantee of perfect health. is not a guarantee of perfect finances or of perfect family, perfect kids, or perfect mental health. At this church, we are all of us, we are imperfect people in pursuit of a perfect God. A lot of people think, well, church is where all the shiny, happy people are, and I can't go unless my life matches that. But that couldn't be further from the truth. And I think most of us in this room, we understand this idea. We are imperfect people seeking and pursuing a perfect God. We all have our own struggles. We all have our own issues that we are wrestling with. And so there's so much, though, that I do want to say that goes into mental health. So we often think that if I'm struggling with mental health, I just need to pray more. I just need to go to God. I just need to find the spiritual solution. But I want to add, there is a caveat. There's a lot of things that go into dealing with your anxiety or your depression. Yes, we need to deal with it on the spiritual level, absolutely. We also you may need to deal with it on the medicinal level or a therapeutic level or just with good advice like you need more sleep and to eat a healthier diet. All these things add into creating health and wholeness. And that's ultimately what God wants for every single one of us. The second lie that Satan is telling so many people in their believing is that you are crazy. It's common in the middle of a really dark moment to feel like there is something actually wrong with you, like you're flawed or you're losing your mind. And as a result, many people begin to feel like a freak or a misfit or like you're worse than other people with other struggles. But when you hear the lie that you're crazy and that lie begins to take root in your mind, you have to remember what I already said. We're all broken. We're just broken in different ways. We all wrestle with the results of sin the results sin has made in this world. I'm not saying that sin is why you have this mental health issue. Sin just broke everything. It made a mess of everything in this world. And so while you struggle with mental health issues, other people might struggle with a physical disease or with addiction or with temptations for greed or power or lust. Your struggle is no better or no worse than anybody else. And you are certainly not crazy. The truth is that you are highly prized and made in God's image. You are so loved by God that when sin entered the world and separated all of humanity from him, he went and he sent his son to this earth to die on the cross so that your relationship with God could be restored, so that you could be adopted into the family, so that you could be made a child of God, even with all your anxious thoughts. That doesn't matter to God. He wants you in his family. You don't have to defeat this issue to gain God's approval. Like I said during worship, we have this verse from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It tells you to approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God simply wants us to come to him. No matter how you feel, you're not less than. You're not broken in an unfixable way. You have a struggle. We all have struggles. And like every single one of us, God wants us, when we're feeling that darkness, that gloom, that worry, he wants us to come to him so that he can offer us mercy and the grace to help us in our time of need. Third lie that Satan is telling so many of you, you are all alone. Satan loves to make people feel like nobody could relate. So you might as well not tell anybody. You'd just be wasting your breath. Or worse, they might think that you're crazy. So keep it to yourself. Don't share what you're wrestling with in your mind. So you believe the lie then that you're the only person feeling this way, which is ironic because mental health is the number one health issue facing Americans today. And yet people in their own minds feel like I'm the only one. Nobody could relate. So you hide how you're feeling and you don't share your real doubts or worries with anyone else. And you end up isolating yourself where you can let your anxious thoughts ruminate in your mind all through the night, all alone, stealing your sleep, breaking your relationships with other people. Even in a house filled with family members who care about you, it's possible for people to feel utterly alone. If that's you, I want to assure you, you are not alone. You're not the first person to feel this way. And you are surrounded by people who want to help. In the Bible, which is an incredibly honest book, it's filled with people who struggle with the same anxiety and despair that you have wrestled with. We see in David's life, Psalm 42, verse 5 and 9, he wrote this in the psalm, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" David feels completely forgotten by God. Paul felt it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he penned in his letter to the church at Corinth, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." One of the primary leaders in the church admitted to one of the churches he planted and everybody in it that he felt like death would have been even better, perhaps. We despaired of life itself. That's how dark things felt for them. Even Jesus has had that feeling. In Matthew 26, verse 36, while he's at the garden praying, he knows what's about to come on the cross. He tells the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." You're not the first person to have such dark feelings that you just feel like, does anybody even care if I'm here? Does this even matter? This is part of the brokenness of this world. And ultimately, that feeling won't exist once we get to the other side and we get to the kingdom of God. That will be taken care of. In the meantime, God wants to help you deal with these feelings. And so while I can tell you as we go through these biblical accounts, you're at least in good company, that may not make you feel any better, though it does prove the point you're not alone. What does help, though, when you're feeling like you're in a really dark place, is to remember that there are other people who want to help you. And you open your mouth, you break the silence, and you speak up. Speak up to a trusted friend, or a spouse, or a parent, or a therapist, or a pastor. You have to understand you can't shoulder this load all on your own. You need to share that weight and that burden with others who want to help you find healing and health. So often when we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it's through the lens of marriage. It's often in wedding ceremonies. But as I read these verses to you, think about them in terms of your mental health support team. The author writes, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." Stop allowing your feelings or shame or embarrassment based on the lie that you are all alone to keep you from reaching out for help. On your own, you're not going to beat this. But with a team of people who want better for you, who are going to walk this road with you, and ultimately will carry you when you have nothing left, you can win. There will be somebody to help pick you up when you fall down. The fourth and final lie we're going to talk about today is that this will never end. That's the final lie Satan whispers in your ear. You've suffered for so long, perhaps as long as you can possibly remember. And so you feel like that's your lot in life. It's never going to change and it's never going to get better. So you believe that this will never end. There's no hope for better. You start to question, is life even worth it? And that's why anxiety and depression are so often tied together. Because when you constantly feel tied up with anxious thoughts and what-if scenarios and worrying that something bad is just lurking around the next corner, you start to despair of life itself. And that's where the depression comes in. Fortunately, what we see in the Bible is that God is a God of comebacks. Like a good movie that always starts with the person who's kind of down and out, but in the end, they find triumph. God wants you to break free from these lies of the enemy and to experience victory in your own life. We see this storyline time and time again in the Bible. Joseph in Genesis was the kid with a really pretty coat, full of lots of colors. Brothers weren't a big fan of him. He ends up finding himself locked in a prison for not doing anything wrong whatsoever. He could have felt completely down and out, forgotten by God as he was rotting in a pit. But God had plans for him. God elevated him to the right hand of Pharaoh and put him in a leadership role. Moses had been banished to the wilderness as a shepherd of another man's sheep for 40 years. At 80 years old, he had nothing going for him. And then God called him from a burning bush and put him into a significant role for the Israelite people. Even Jesus' disciples looked like scared little children who were scattered and hiding at the time of Jesus' death. And yet he used them to be the foundation for the church that was to spread all over the world. A lot of people have gone before you and have felt insignificant, like they were crazy, like they were just dealing with too much that they couldn't handle. But God has provided for them. God never starts something that he's not going to finish. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God finishes what he starts. He's not going to let you have all your prayers and pleadings fall on deaf ears. He's a God who wants to see you made whole again. He's a God who has a bigger story in plans for your life. If you're struggling with worry and anxiety, I encourage you today, reject these lies and see the truth of God's word. Yes, these statements may absolutely feel true in your darkest moments, but you must understand your feelings are subjective. And they tend to help you spiral and make you feel even worse about yourself. The objective truth is that these are all the arrows of the lies that Satan is shooting at you. He's trying to destroy you. And the only way that you can defeat them is to recognize them for what they are, lies, and replace them with the truth that God wants you to understand about yourself and about him. The truth like you are loved, valued, and a child of God. Imperfect, yes, but loved nonetheless. Others have felt like you before, and they have worked through those feelings, and they are on the other side standing in victory over doubt, despair, and anxiety. And you need to talk to people you trust and let them carry the burden with you. We were made for community. We see it all through the pages of Scripture. God doesn't want you fighting this battle alone. The number one thing we see in every battle, mental health and every other sinful struggle that people have, is that we have to walk in community with one another because two are better than one. And for those of you who love somebody who's struggling, I hope that this has helped you understand a little bit what their struggle is and these lies that you need to remember and share with them. You need to share these words of encouragement to those you love because these words have power for people who are down and out and struggling right now. Tell them, It's okay to struggle. You are not crazy. You are not alone. And this will end. Those statements are incredibly powerful to people who are in the darkest pit. You're not crazy. It's okay. You're not alone. This will end. Remember where I began this message, showing you the words of what Jesus said about our enemy who wants to destroy us. Let's see what Jesus said as he rounded out that passage. So John 10:10 began with, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But Jesus added, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus wants every single person to experience the abundance, joy, and hope, and peace that he came to this world to offer us. Remember from Galatians last week, it's for freedom that we've been set free. That's what Jesus desires for each and every one of us. He wants you to experience the goal that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. May that be your prayer as you learn to reject these lies of the enemy and fight for your own future peace. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?